Norman Bowker leaned back and considered what he might have said on the subject. He knew shit. It was his specialty, the smell in particular, but also the numerous varieties of texture and taste. Someday he'd give a lecture on the topic, put on a suit and tie and stand up in front of the Kiwanis Club and tell the fuckers all about the wonderful shit he knew. Pass out samples, maybe. Smiling at this, he clamped the steering wheel slightly right of center, which produced a smooth clockwise motion against the curve of the road. The Chevy seemed to know its own way. The sun was lower now, 5:55, he decided. 6 o'clock tops. Along an unused railway spur, four workmen labored in the shadowy red heat setting up a platform and steel launchers for the evening fireworks. They were dressed alike in khaki trousers, work shirts, visored caps, and brown boots. Their faces were dark and smudgy.
"Want to hear about the Silver Star I almost won?" Norman Bowker whispered,
but none of the workmen looked up. Later they would blow color into the sky. The lake would sparkle with the reds and blues and greens, like a mirror, and the picnickers would make low sounds of appreciation.
"Well, see, it never stopped raining," he would have said. "The muck was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it."
He would have paused a second. Then he would have told about the night they bivouacked on a field along the Song Trabong, a big swampy field beside the river. There was a vill nearby, 50 meters downstream, and right away a dozen old mamasans ran out and started yelling. A weird scene, he would have said. The mamasans just stood there in the rain, soaking wet, yapping away about how this field was bad news. Number 10, they said. Evil ground, not a good spot for good GIs. Finally, Lieutenant Cross had to get out his pistol and fire off a few rounds just to shoo them away. By then, it was almost dark, so they set up a perimeter, ate chow, then crawled under their ponchos and tried to settle in for the night. But the rain kept getting worse, and by midnight, the field turned into soup. "Just this deep, oozy soup," he would have said, "like sewage or something, thick and mushy. You couldn't sleep, you couldn't even lie down, not for long, because you'd start to sink under the soup, real clammy. You could feel the crud coming up inside your boots and pants." Here, Norman Bowker would have squinted against the low sun. He would have kept his voice cool, no self-pity. "But the worst part," he would have said quietly, "was the smell. Partly it was the river, a dead fish smell, but it was something else, too. Finally, somebody figured it out. What this was, it was a shit field, the village toilet. No indoor plumbing, right? So they used the field. I mean, we were camped in a goddamn shit field." He imagined Sally Kramer closing her eyes. If she were here with him in the car, she would have said, "Stop it. I don't like that word." "Well, that's what it was." "All right, but you don't have to use that word." "Fine. What should we call it?" She would have glared at him. "I don't know. Just stop it." Clearly, he thought this was not a story for Sally Kramer. She was Sally Gustafson now. No doubt Max would have liked it, the irony in particular. But Max had become a pure idea, which was its own irony. It was just too bad. If his father were here, riding shotgun around the lake, the old man might have glanced over for a second, understanding perfectly well that it was not a question of offensive language, but of fact. His father would have sighed and folded his arms and waited. "A shit field," Norman Bowker would have said. "And later that night, I could have won the Silver Star for valor." "Right," his father would have murmured. "I hear you.